that's not there, then how is there life?
I understand.
So there's the knowledge of how life is there, and then there is life itself. Does that make sense? So that's the thing is, here we'll emphasize so much on the philosophy, because without knowing who we are, we can't act in our natural position. But once we're acting in our natural position, then the philosophy isn't actually the prominent element. Right? It's secondary to the actual life of a devotee. Right? So that's very important to understand. But this philosophy is exceedingly important to establish us properly on the devotional path, right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur pointed out before that unless the devotional service is based on the Vedanta and the Upanishads, then it's not recognized. Right? Unless it's based on the Shastra, it's not recognized. Rupa Goswami says that it's not according to Shruti, Smriti, and Purana, and other Vedic literatures, then that's actually a disturbance. Not only is it not recognized, it's a disturbance. Right? So the whole idea is that one has to know the Sambandha Gyan, because it will put everything in proper perspective. But having been put in perspective, then there's a lifestyle that goes with that perspective. Right? So in other words, you have the lifestyle, then it's not the philosophy isn't important. But to develop the lifestyle, the philosophy is important. So if we get the philosophy but don't get the lifestyle, that means the process hasn't been completed. Right? It's important, it's the first step. So it's not that, oh, they only know the philosophy. That's great. But it has to be taken the next step, which is to apply it as the culture of Krishna consciousness. Now in here also then he brings up, then next point he's bringing up is he doesn't take advantage of his position. Right? Interesting that, I'm just wondering who's translating, because they're putting these headings, so whether that is the natural heading or that is headings being put in by the translator to make it more clear. But here is that he's not exploiting others, but at the same time as we see that he says therefore he's tolerant of the anger and dismay of fools who resent his prominence. Right? So he doesn't exploit others, therefore he is able to be tolerant. Right? Because if you're trying to exploit someone, if you can't get what you want, you become frustrated, you become angry. Right? So the idea is that if you're able to tolerate, right, it means it's natural. It's not a forced. It's a natural. That means there's no exploitation. Right? So then, if he is seeing himself as lower than the straw in the street, then he doesn't think that I am a Vaishnava or I am a guru. Now these aren't just, you know, just something you could throw out, anything. These two are very, very specific, because these two, I am Vaishnava and I am a guru, then they actually then go all the way back into that these two points are the last points of purification. Right? So that's why the earlier you start working on them, the better. Because in the stage of Bhava Bhakti, these are the two points that actually get in the way. Right? These two get in the way. And because of that, one can be stuck actually for lifetimes. It's mentioned hundreds of lifetimes on the platform of Bhava. It means you can get stuck as an Uttamadhikari in the stage of Bhava and not get to Prema for hundreds and hundreds of lifetimes because of these two points. Right? I'm a Vaishnava, so that means I am advanced. Right? And I am a guru. Therefore, I can direct others and everything. Right? Seem to be the same. They're basically the same. But there's a slight difference. I am a Vaishnava, so that's my position. So that's my existence, right? So in the position of existence is control, right? So I am the controller, right? So that means I am God as God, right? As Krishna. So my enviousness or jealousy of Krishna manifests through this line. Very subtle. I am a guru means I am a devotee. That means I am in this way, I am the devotee. And so this then thinks the thing is then is the jealousy or enviousness or wanting to exploit the devotees of the Lord. Right? I'm the enjoyer. Does that make sense? Very subtle. So in other words, because Prabhupada points out, generally he's always pointing out the impersonal position of wanting to be God, because that's a pretty standard, you know. But, so whether you know about Krishna's pastimes or not, that's pretty standard. Right. But those who know about the pastimes, then there's also the element that I am the devotee. Right? But Rupa Goswami makes it very clear that technically speaking, there's only one devotee. And that's Srimati Radharani. Everyone else is her servant. Like that. Even the other expansions of the internal potency are all servants of Radharani. Right? So she's the devotee. Does that make sense? So impersonalism can also include that I think I'm the devotee. Does that make sense? So when we say I am a devotee, it means I am the servant of the servant of the servant, right? But it's much easier to say, you know, devotee than it is servant of the servant of the servant, 1,000 times removed the servant, right? So that would be the actual. I was just reading the other day the official name of Bangkok. I think it started off as 40, something like 3 syllables or something like that. Now it takes up like 3 or 4 lines, you know. Like that. It's one word, you know, meaning, you know, the greatest kingdom, the place of jewels, or this, that goes blah, 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 goes on and on and on. And so they just send it down to, you know, like something, Tum Krung or something like that. But nobody calls it that. The Westerners all call it Bangkok. But, you know, so it's, you can go on and on and on like this, but you have a simpler form. Right? So in the same way is that so we say devotee, but we never think of that, of the devotee, that I'm the guru. Right? Because the guru means the head of the line of this. Does that make sense? So I'm simply a servant that what I have heard from my spiritual master, I'm giving to others. Not that I am the guru. Because otherwise we can make the mistake that I am Krishna, or I am, you know, the leading devotees. Does that make sense? So both of these forms of impersonalism then, you know, stop us from actually getting properly situated. Does that make sense? So these are the subtlest forms of it, you know, at least within the Vaishnava mentality. So one has to be very, very careful. Like that. Then, okay. Okay. So knowing that every atom and every infinitesimal spirit soul to be the residence of Lord Krishna, he never treats anyone as inferior to himself. Nor does he require anything from anyone in this world. So he won't treat anyone as inferior because they're also the same spirit soul as him. So understanding of transcendence and the mode of goodness, you understand all souls are the same. It means the nature of the souls are the same. As an individual, they have their own individual manifestation of that. That's the uniqueness. But as far as the quality of them, they're all the same. Right? Mode of passion, you see a difference in the souls. So therefore you'll have a Christian soul or a Hindu soul or a Muslim soul, and there is a difference. Right? So that's understanding in the mode of passion. Mode of ignorance, you don't even see the soul, you only see the body. So therefore he doesn't require anything from anyone because no one's inferior, because you don't take anything from someone who's not inferior. And even if others are envious and spiteful, he never retaliates. On the contrary, he prays for his tormentor's well-being. That it's not, if someone does something, you retaliate, that's not good. So you're on the same level as they are. If someone does something to you, you do not retaliate, then that's better. Like that. So therefore, you'll get benefit. Right? They do something, they get a reaction. You retaliate, you get a reaction, right? They do something, you don't. They get a reaction. You don't retaliate, you don't get a reaction. They do something to you. You pray for their, don't retaliate, and don't give, and pray for their well-being. Then both of you benefit. So that's the process. Okay. So this is coming from the offenseless chanting. Real humility never means to concoct something new. The devotees who chant purely never rejects the devotional process he received from a spiritual master by introducing new methods, i.e.g. E.g. means?
Example.
For example. An i.e.?
For instance.
For instance. Okay. And then the one I prefer is viz, but they don't use that anymore. So it's considered archaic. You know? How come a or and isn't archaic? They've been using it for thousands of years. Why, that's not archaic. You know, in India they don't use them. Yeah. For example, by replacing the Maha Mantra with some concocted and imaginary rhyme, a Vaishnav humility is not to be questioned if he preaches widely the glories of the holy name by writing new books, as long as this is done strictly in accordance with the instructions of his spiritual master. But one tries to trick people, making a show of humility, only to gain the adoration of the masses, that is not accepted as humility, right? Because from humility, you don't accept, then you're not, because there's no exploitation. It means you're humble, so there's no exploitation, therefore you're tolerant, right? So here is, if you're taking advantage of others, you know, in the way of distinction, adoration, profit, that technically means that humility is lacking, right? So it's a matter of if the people, yeah, okay. So now here we see is that there's an underlying element that's here that comes out from the preacher. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his preachers, is so we read in his literatures, Jivadharma and others, that they are doing their bhajan in Vrindavan, wherever they're sitting, or in Navadvip, and people are who are sincere, then they know that these are the places where the saintly people reside. And so they go there to get association, to learn from them, to gain knowledge, right? To be trained. So therefore, they can stay in their natural position and everything because people are coming to them and already respecting them for their position. So there's no need of creating any form, really. Does that make sense? It's important to know. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur now is being taken out to the public. Before, the public would go to the Vaishnavas. But here now, as a Gostinandi, then one is going out to the public. So now this raises difficulties that come up within general community, you know, and also even within the Vaishnava community. Right? Because both communities can be upset by this. So now he sees by going out and speaking, then, how do you say? Dismayed by, he is tolerant of the anger and dismay of the fools who resent his prominence. Right? Because by going out and preaching, one becomes prominent. So others, how do you say, resent this prominence. Does that make sense? So we have to be very, very careful that we do not ourselves apply this on other living entities. Right? Because in any way, if we're humble, if the karma is, then they, if they're in a good position, means they've done some proper pious activity to be in that position. It's just a waste because they're not connecting to Krishna. You know, it's unfortunate. But in that position, now they can learn how to connect it to Krishna. Right? And then, for the devotees, then we don't think that he's a devotee, why he should be in that position, because devotees are supposed to be respected and elevated. You know, and so it's recognized in some and not in others. At least it's being recognized. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would have his devotees all, after initiation, that they would wear the Brahmin thread. Because traditionally, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas didn't wear one. Right? Unless you were from, you wouldn't wear one because you're a Gaudiya Vaishnava. You'd only wear one because you came in a family that by tradition accepted Upanayana. So in your family line, you would have, so that's why you'd be wearing. But otherwise, as a Gaudiya Vaishnava, it wasn't part of the dress. Neck beads were, Brahmin threads were. You don't hear discussion, you hear about tilak and neck beads, right? That's part of the process. You don't hear about the Brahmin thread. Right. So he established it as a standard within the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition that they would wear the Brahmin thread so that the non-devotees or other Vaishnavas from other groups would at least minimum accept them as Brahmins. Right? Because the Vaishnava is automatically a topmost Brahmin. Right? So at least minimum, if they didn't accept them as devotees, they'd accept them as Brahmins. At least then there wouldn't be any real offense there. Does that make sense? So these kind of things he established. Or here he's saying, his humility is not questioned if he preaches widely the glories of the holy name, right? By writing new books, as long as it's done in accordance with his authority, the spiritual master. So in other words, by preaching widely, by writing books, all these things, then others are criticized. Oh, who are you to write books? You know, only Rupa Goswami writes books, or like this and that. No. So he's bringing out that these are things that come up from the preaching in the modern age. These are problems. Right? So it's humility that's going on. It's humility why one's preaching. In other words, the instructions of the spiritual master and the previous acharyas of Krishna, these are all very valuable. You identify with them, and so you preach them boldly. So that doesn't mean that's not humble. So because in the modern sense, humbleness is taken as we discussed insecurity. Right? If you're insecure, you're humble. And the person who is secure, then they're exploited. Right? And so they make a nice match. Right? The insecure and the exploitive. But here the Vaishnavas are not exploitive. They're, you know, so their humility doesn't include exploitiveness. So that means they can be confident. And other those who are junior can be confident. Everyone can be confident because they all are confident that I am serving the Krishna. This philosophy is correct. This process is perfect. Right? By following this process and that, I will obtain love of Godhead. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. So one has to be careful that this is not mistaken for pride. And it's actually humility. It's actually interesting. If you have confidence and you do something, then that you'll be criticized for being proud. Right? So this means it's a misunderstanding of what is pride.
That's all. Pride has arrogance attached to it.
Yeah, pride has arrogance. But here it's a matter of you're simply giving the order to the spiritual master. If you just get something done that you're supposed to do, then, you know. So the thing is it's humble only when you don't actually know what to do and you don't feel confident that you can try. And so in that state, that's considered humble. But that's basically considered useless. Right? Because you can't do anything. You have to be focused to do something. So therefore, if you're focused, you know what you want to do, you do something, oh, then you're proud. But that is the statement of either the, here it says the fools, right? Yeah, the fools or the envious.
Okay, yes. Stated that one should only have one question to the guru, how can I help you? At a certain stage in the development, the guru also expects the disciple to think in his own head and make plans how to expand the mission.
Mm-hmm.
But then some people might also interpret that as pride and arrogance because you're just supposed to be doing what you're told. And
yes, but doing what you're told is you've been told to use your brain. So if you're using your brain, then you're doing what you're told. Like that. So the point is it's understood is that even the acharya is the humble servant of his spiritual master. Like that. So he's using his brain. The point is, instruction has been given. So this instruction having been given, then naturally, then the living entity is able to apply that. And having applied that, then that is his service. Service doesn't necessarily mean, this will also be there because in the same mistake will be thought that Vapu is higher than Vani. Because you're only supposed to do what you're told, but you should be, if you're in the association, you're told. So, but Vapu is Vani is higher than Vapu. Right? Because the Vani can be applied whether one's with the Vapu or not. While that of serving the Vapu can only be done if you're physically in contact. Right? All right. So, therefore, it should be understood is that the humility means taking the order of the spiritual master and doing something with it, using your intelligence. Because body, mind, and words are supposed to be engaged. They're saying only the body should be engaged. What about the mind and the words? You know, so it's just a matter of depth of understanding. So that they want you to be, you know, following and listen. That's nice. That's good. But it has to go farther. Maturity means it must develop. You know, just like the small child does what he's told, but it's understood as he grows up, it's expected he's going to do something. You know, so the father doesn't get upset that now the son can run the company. Right? No, that's what he's supposed to do. So it's yeah. So these are all part of the hazards of preaching. But one also, that's why this is given, so that one can tell the difference and tell if one is allowing pride to creep in. Right? Because then this element of the anger, you know, intolerance and anger, you know, all these things come up if we're not. You know, in other words, it may be very good what we're doing and our motive may basically be proper. But these underlying little, you know, anarthas and other things may get in the way and therefore it's going to create these things in our own heart. So when others criticize like this, it's just a matter of they do that, you know, that just due to their lack of understanding or development and all that, it happens. So therefore, it's just a matter of what to do about it, how to work with it, or how to work around it, rather than taking it personally and getting disturbed by it. Does that make sense? So in other words, for yourself, you can still make advancement from that by contemplating and understanding and then... Does that make sense? The other person, there, and then by being a well-wisher to them, then, you know, hopefully they'll mature and then they'll give up this mentality. You know, it makes life easier.
In order to perform the preaching, one needs certain resources, certain facilities, especially if one goes out on Harinam or Prasad distribution or book distribution. Now, sometimes those facilities are not given, and then if the preacher tries to make his own arrangements, or he demands from an institution that he be given the facility, it might be interpreted or misinterpreted that he's doing that out of pride or arrogance or because he wants to push this certain project, and thus he's running into the exact same problem, where people say that this is not the proper attitude, it should all just come by...
should drop out of the sky, like magic or something.
Has it been interpreted that you're doing this for your own...
they're saying that's always the way it has to be interpreted by them. Because those means... So one has to be very, very careful. The point is that whatever the situation that comes up like this, that one can use it to one's own personal advantage. It may not be an advantage to the others who have that mentality, but one's, for one's own development, it can be. So there, one is therefore tolerant of this, and then finds a way to make it work. You know, in other words, rephrasing things, taking a different approach, starting at a smaller level, or you know, some way getting it done. And if none of that works, then just making one's own arrangements like that. But within working for others. In other words, they want you to do something very special. You say you need this facility. They say, why do you need that facility? Then it says, okay, then we can do it on a small... You want less facility? Then that will do this for us. And then slowly, slowly it'll expand. like that. So it's just a matter of that. And if they say, no, no, you can do it all with this, then, you know, and you do it with that. You know, and then the results will be seen. Because generally, in other words, those who know wouldn't say that. Right? In other words, those that know what it actually takes to get it done wouldn't make that comment. Like I remember one person, he has basically no idea of cooking. Zero. Like that. And he would always wonder why it would take others so long to cook or make lunch. His thing is, you just go in the kitchen, you take this, you just boil this, you do this and that, and you put it together. You need 15 minutes. And so he would always very strongly stand on this and demand all this and that and all these things. But as far as the cooking went, he was totally uninformed. You know, so someone who knows cooking then would say this and that. Then, because they know, then they can tell where it's more or less. You know, they say, oh, I need 5 hours to prepare. And he says, no, actually, that should only take you 3 hours. You know, like that. Because they themselves could do it. Then you know that, okay, then there is something here that maybe, okay, maybe I made a mistake, maybe, you know, just I'm used to it like that, or I like it like that. So, okay, I could try to make adjustments because to do with this facility or that, because this other person does know the field. Like that. But if they don't know the field, then it doesn't matter how much you explain it to them, they don't know it anyway. They wouldn't know what it means. You know, you just boil it. So in their mind, all you had to do is say, you just have to, you know, get a pot, put water in it, put it on the fire, turn it on and boil it. In their mind is, it took them 3 seconds to say that. In their mind, that's all the longer it takes to do that. Because they themselves either haven't or can't. You know, so therefore one has to distinguish also between those who actually know the field and those who don't. Those who know take their points more seriously or you know, or discuss them more seriously with them until there's a consensus. Or if they don't know, then it doesn't matter. You could explain it to them all day. So to make it work, then take whatever is something that they're comfortable with and then start with that and then expand. Because not being expert at that area, generally they'll also forget about it. Because it's not, it means someone who knows cooking can think about cooking. Someone who doesn't know cooking won't think about it. So once you're cooking, they completely forget that you're doing it. Does that make sense? So one can use it to one's own personal advantage. You know, managerially it may be a nightmare, but the point is all this management and arrangements and everything is just for spiritual advancement. So bottom line is that should be the prominent element, because Krishna is pleased, you know, if you do something sincerely. So even if it's smaller, you know, Krishna is happy with it. And Krishna, by his own amazing arrangements, can make things expand. Okay. Yes.
You probably comment, but I was just thinking that you have to have humility to give energy, because you're putting yourself both in criticism and seeing as proud.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you'd have to be humble. It's also, there's the element, even to do something well, is there's the knowledge and skill that goes with it. But at the same time, to be able to understand that knowledge and to be able to perform that skill, that's actually coming from Krishna. You know, Krishna says he is knowledge, and he is the ability. And he goes as far to say as, what you're doing is him also. Right? So technically, it's all Krishna. So the more humble we are, but that humility doesn't mean lack of confidence. That humility means there is a confidence, so naturally there's an action. Right? In other words, if Sambandha is strong, then Abhideya and Prayojana will naturally follow. So, therefore, if there's that confidence there in service to Krishna, then the action, that particular service will be performed. But one doesn't think that I am the doer. So that humility is necessary for this. It means you get it in the Western or in the Oriental, that the point is you have to let it come to you. Right? You know, the game has to come to you. You know, if you're after it, you won't catch it. But if you let it come to you, But they do that through pride. In other words, they try to establish this confidence through pride. Therefore, even though they become expert at it, they follow the formula of letting it come to you because you're not actually doing it. But it still is that pride that, yeah, you can do, you can this. And so, does that make sense? They're using the wrong aspect. It's in the element of sambandha, but they're encouraging the pride of, I am this body, or I am this intelligence, or mind, whatever it is, rather than I am servant of Krishna. So, in other words, the activity becomes done because the identity is strong. But it's not so useful for spiritual development. You understand? This is why one has to be very, very careful about the modern self-help methods. Not that the method itself technically is not correct, but its approach, the mentality, the flavor, the mood of it, is actually what's dangerous. Because unless the identity is strong, and therefore the security is there, then there's no focus. And only if there's focus, then can there be a proper goal and a proper understanding and a skill applied. You know, that will give you the result of that goal. Does that make sense? Then it becomes, you know, so that's just the formula. That's the eternal formula. So now, devotees do that by being more and more situated as servant of Krishna. Therefore, the more advanced, the more humble they are, actually the more expert they are in performing an activity. But then, because the common person does that same thing, or the materialistic person does it by increasing the material identity, so therefore their false ego. That's why they misjudge that the devotee is doing that is working on the same principle. They are infected by that, yes. Right? So in other words, if one tries to reduce the position of the ISKCON authorities or sannyasis or gurus or senior Vaishnavas because of this and saying they're not humble and all that, then one is infected by this anartha, the same things. You're mistaking spiritual identity and a success from that as material identity. And you know, which means pride. It's the same thing, but it's very common. That's why it's so important, these metaphysics. Right? If one's very simple, one just hears the philosophy, understands it, just works by it, is not complicated, doesn't apply, you know, anything upon others, then it's not so important for yourself, right? But if one is more complicated than that, complex, or to help others through it, then this philosophy and these technicalities are very important. In other words, how do you distinguish? Right? Because devotees will say, be focused, where they get it from. They're not generally getting it from the Shastra, they're getting it from outside works, which is fine, it is the formula. But how are they creating this focus? Through identity as servant of Krishna. Because generally, if you say, okay, you want to be expert at this service, and you need this knowledge and skills, do they ever teach you that humility as servant of Krishna is actually the key to make it work? Have you ever heard that in one seminar given anywhere? Never. But that's the real thing. It's been missed. So, in other words, they're trying to inspire you and give you a confidence. They won't say it's based on anything material, but they won't actually say it's based on identifying as servant of Krishna. So therefore, you have to find it yourself. So, as a teacher, that's good. They made you aware if you were able to find it. Nice. But who knows what you found? You know? You know, you said, oh, what about myself? I never thought about myself. I'm never doing things for myself. I just heard a devotee say that about 3 days ago. You know, all this time I've been doing for others, now what about myself? So then what is that? What is this self? is servant of Krishna, so servant of the Vaishnavas, so what's the problem in serving others? Krishna serves the Vaishnavas, he's God, and he serves the Vaishnavas, so if we want to be God and worry about ourselves, then why would we serve the Vaishnavas? And they're saying, so they found themselves, and then they did something for themselves. And the result didn't come out very good at all. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is that I'm humble servant of Krishna. Therefore, because Krishna is special, the Acharyas are special, this philosophy, the Vedic literature, this culture is special, therefore, and it is the only thing that will benefit everybody in this world, no matter what their position is, like that. Therefore, very boldly, and Lord Chaitanya has ordered that this be spread, and my spiritual master has also told me to spread. So therefore, I go out and with great enthusiasm and confidence do this. So that's where it's from. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes. The ability is there with it, means, but at the same time as one has to take it. Otherwise, oh, I can't do anything, I can't do this, I can't do that. But what's the central feature of this so-called humility? Is I, which is my identity. So basically, I am very comfortable, you know, that I am a useless, therefore now I have an identity with everything. So now I know how to behave. This comes up, oh, I can't do that. And he says, oh, I'm so useless for that. So then you know how to relate with everybody and everything. Right? But basically it's for our own purpose, this. It's not actually for pleasing Krishna.
If somebody's struggling, means that there's some fault in attitude?
There's always fault in attitude and anarthas and all these things. But it's not, see, when we're speaking these things, we're going down to what is underlying of it. When it comes up to the surface and we're actually conscious of it, then it may, you know, have a softer form. Like that. So the point is but for ourselves, and we will take it from this element of, we will take it from this element of, we'll take it from the element that if it's concerning someone else, then okay, they are overwhelmed by these things, and so therefore we'll help them. Right? But for ourselves, then we can see is that actually the problem is just that I'm not identifying as a servant of Krishna. So if I just redefine my identity. So as servant of Krishna, humility doesn't mean I'm useless. Right? So when the devotee is saying, oh, I'm sinful in his prayers, that doesn't specifically mean, it doesn't necessarily have to refer to sinful activities, meaning in the moralistic sense or the religious sense. That can be there, but that would be specifically individual. That's not the real element that keeps one in the material world. The real element is not connecting something to Krishna. So then in the Bhagavatam, then the definition of pious is that it's connected to Krishna. And impious means it's not. So that's why you'll see that they'll generally say, I'm sinful, and say I'm absorbed in, you know, the family and place of birth and position and those kind of things that are actually all the results of piety. But what they're saying is, I'm sinful because I don't see myself or my situation in connection to Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's a matter of knowing that identifying as a servant of Krishna and being humble doesn't mean being useless or being insecure or being, oh, I can't do this. No. It's a matter of Krishna's the ability, and so it's being done, and so I would like to do that. Point is we have to do something for Krishna. So then what services attract our attention, that's what we connect to. That's what we work upon. You know what I'm saying? Mother Jashoda serves Krishna in that way because that's what the way she's attracted to serve Krishna. So that's using the constitutional nature in Krishna's service. So we do the same as the conditional nature. What aspects attract us, that we do. Right? Doesn't make any difference. The principle is that according to your taste, your interest, you serve Krishna. Does that make sense?
I was thinking whether the approach of a spiritual master is the same as of a doctor. The doctor gives a medicine, but the medicine doesn't always have to work.
It doesn't always work.
I mean, it might work in some way, but maybe not the way as
so you. But why would you take that as the common element between the spiritual master and the doctor?
I was just wondering if it works this way, that maybe the patient has to always give like some kind of feedback that works like this.
That means, how you say, the relationship is there, but it's not a matter of looking for an excuse to interact. Because here, then the difficulty will be that analogy will give rise to the relationship is based on what doesn't work rather than what works. You know, so then even if everything's going nice, one will have to create something bad to have a relationship. So it's not a strong position. It's a matter of applying what's there, what works, then is great, what doesn't work, that's inquired about, and then, you know, it's integrated. So it's not that the doctor sometimes doesn't work. It's a matter of the process works. It's our anarthas is what makes it not work. You know what I'm saying? So it's simply a matter of, or a lack of focus on Krishna. We may be very pure, but not very motivated to be active as serve. So we have to develop that interest to be dynamic in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So we'll end this time. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki.
Seeing as Friday is the last part of this term, a little winding up ceremony, would that be appropriate? Just 5 minutes at the end.
It would be. I wouldn't know how to do something like that. You have some ideas. I shouldn't shy away from those things because I have no idea how to do them. The environment that I grew up in, there never were any of those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, see you later. Come back next year.
Not so much that, it's just a matter of, yeah, just Hari Bol and things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying in any aspect of your life, things like that. There were no that kind of ceremonies. Mm-hmm. Religious ceremonies are other kinds of things. Other than, say, a parody at the end of the performance. Goes backstage, you know, when with the perform, because they've been watching it from rehearsal to final performance, and all the funny, stupid things and the cliché things that are in it, then they would perform a drama. For the music, in other words, the actors would sit in the audience, and all the backup would go on the stage, and they'd take the different parts of all the funny things and over-exaggerate everything.
I've seen that on the tour.
Huh?
I've seen that on the tour. There's somebody there with the cell phone.
Do all that kind of thing. So that's the only thing I know. So it's not appropriate. This is fine. That's for actors and such ilk. But if you have some idea of how to do that,
yeah, we'll work on something. Just 5 to 10 minutes in on Friday.
Yeah. Is this for everybody or just for the students?
Well, whoever's here, then they should be able to see it. It's like they can take advantage by witnessing.
Okay. So you come up with something.
Yeah.